Aspersian and report Haiyan or our Yolanda, a super typhoon that just hit our country, is the largest and the strongest on historical record in all the world. And many would like to use situations like this, calamities on top of other calamities recently. There are those who use these natural calamities to cast doubt on the creationist position. They say, how can it be from the design of God when nature makes such a damaging impact on man? If God loves mankind, why would he create nature that damages man with such amazing casualty and damage? It appears better to believe that nature just came to be by its own processes, and that at least explains why calamities happen. But a Christian can well believe in creation while understanding the why of calamities. Tayo mga Kristiyano ay makapahawak sa paniniwala, sa paglilikha, at mayroon tayong paliwanag kung bakit nangyayari itong mga kalamidad sa kalikasan. And this year, we were given the opportunity to form a ministry for creation. We gladly welcome it. On the other hand, we must always remember that the church is the community that belongs to the new creation. And this is the sketch of all existence. Everything is belonging to creation and or new creation. Both are God's work. We are called to be conscious of each of these realms, to be active in both, to glorify God through both creation and new creation. We began with creation. And certainly one of the most contentious issues, and there are those who would like to make this a tension between faith and science. I do not believe it is. But for many Christians who feel the pressure of the academe, the pressure of science, they like to find a middle course of compromise. They would say we can continue to believe in creation, but in such a way that it accommodates evolution. And therefore, win-win situation, everybody happy. Well, evolutionists are not happy. They will not accept that kind of structure as far as their evolution is concerned. And true creationists also cannot be happy. I will challenge you to stand firm on this issue. No compromise, without dismissing those who feel they need to compromise with science. Because what is at stake is that belief in creation, as we saw last week, yields a God-oriented outlook of life and salvation. Ang paniniwala sa paglilikha ang nagbibigay sa atin ng pananaw sa buhay na nakasentro sa Diyos, na mayroong Diyos. When we say God-oriented outlook, it demands the principle of beginning. There was a time when only God was, and then He introduced. It also involves the principle of ownership. Why things are there is because God made them, and making them gives Him the right of ownership. But then it also reminds us of the reality of sinfulness. Man, who was created by God, did not remain what his mandate was. He sinned. And for us, that is one explanation for the calamities that we experience from nature. There are calamities not because nature was left to itself, but man, who was the vice regent of nature, fell. And he dragged creation with him. We have a creation that Paul says in Romans 8, groans. Meron tayong nilikha na dumaraing. At kapag lumilindol, daing ito ng nilikha. Kapag may mga bagyo, yan ay daing ng nilikha. At ito ay dahilan sa pagkakasala ng tao. But one thing that we must not miss is the greater reality of nature's beauty and usefulness. It has always amazed me why you'll probably have your own insurance policies. And in your insurance policies, you will have their provisions about what they call acts of God. And those acts of God are calamities, earthquake, fire. They see these sensational calamities as acts of God. Why not the day-to-day shining of the sun? The rain that vegetation needs. Why isn't that act of God? And if we compare the acts of God which we see in calamities, and I believe they are, as to the acts of God on a day-to-day basis of blessing and maintenance and preservation, there are more of what is beautiful in nature. There are more of what is useful. And therefore, from creation, we are expected to see the greatness of its maker and be drawn to worship Him. Mula sa nilikha, dapat nating makita ang kadakilaan, ang kaluwalhatian ng may likha nito, at ang tugon natin dapat ay pagsamba sa Kanya. Permit me to use again two passages, one from the Old Testament and another from the New. First, turn to the popular Psalm 8. Psalm 8, we'll read the whole psalm. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and infants, you have established strength because of your foes to steal the enemy and the avenger. When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him? And the Son of Man, that you care for him. Yet you have made him a little lower than the angels and crowned him with glory and honor. You have given him dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, and also the beasts of the field, the birds of the heavens and the fish of the sea, whatever passes along the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. And then from there, would you turn to Revelation chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4, and we'll just read from verse 9 to verse 11. Verses 9 to 11 of Revelation 4. And whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who is seated on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who is seated on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. They cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Worthy are you, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created. Now, Psalm 8 definitely is one of the more popular psalms. What we must not miss is the two brackets, that which opens it and that which closes it, is similar. Verbatim, same words. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. As the psalmist reflects on creation, what he could see either as he begins and as he ends is how majestic the name of the Lord is. Psalm 8 is like Genesis 1 put into a song. And creation reveals the majesty of God. And the response that it should elicit is to worship Him. Yan ang nasa ikawit walo, ang kadakilaan ng Diyos. Ang dapat na tugon sa Kanya ay siya'y itaas, sambahin, parangalan. On the other hand, the Revelation text brings John to the very throne room of God and of the Lamb. And chapters 4 and 5 of Revelation are key to the whole structure of the book, but we will not go into that. But there, John sees the throne surrounded by the 24 elders and four living creatures, all worshiping the one on the throne and the Lamb. And the ground of worship, take note, is: For you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created. Sa parehong mga talatang binasa natin, ang batayan kung bakit sambahin ang Diyos sa kanyang kadakilaan ay ang kanyang nilikha. That's what we get in Psalm 8. That's what we get in Revelation 4. God is to be worshipped for the fact that He created everything. My message is this: on the ground of creation, creatures have the duty and delight to worship the triune God. Batay sa paglilikha, ang mga nilikha ay may tungkulin at kagalakan na sambahin ang Diyos na Trinidad. On the ground of creation, creatures have the duty and delight to worship the triune God. We are now in the assembly of worship as a church. And when we worship, we need to rouse our spirits to worship. We do not come here immediately with a worshipful disposition. There must be some ways we rouse ourselves. Where shall we draw the incitement to worship? Our text suggests one ground. Think of creation. And from our passages, we are given three key concepts that are all essential to the act of worship. First, God of glory, ang Diyos ng kaluwalhatian, God of glory. Second, man as image, ang tao bilang kawangis, man as image. And thirdly, church in worship, ang iglesia sa panambahan, church in worship. So these are the three key concepts, all essential to the act of worship, and we see them from the passages we read. First of all, then, God of glory. As I have observed, the psalmist brackets his psalm with the thought of God's majesty, adding that that majesty is seen where? In all the earth. Ang kanyang karangalan ay nakikita sa kabuuan ng mundo. We say majesty is an attribute of royalty. People or nations that still have royalty still use the title for their king or monarch, majesty. It speaks of superiority to others. Now, what the psalmist is saying is that God's kingly rule is seen in his creation. When you look at creation and reflect on it aright, you must see how majestic our God is. On the other hand, in the vision of Revelation, the response of the 24 elders was, "Worthy are you, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor because you created all things." And again, ang makikita natin bakit sila nagbibigay ng parangal, ang kanilang pinagkunan ng udyok sa pagpaparangal ay ang nakita nilang katotohanan ng naglikha ang Diyos. The simple point here is that creation reveals the glory of God that invites worship. That's one function of creation. From Genesis 1 and consistently throughout the scriptures, this principle is underscored. When you look at creation, see how glorious God is. The glory of God pertains to the revelation of His attributes. Remember our recent series on knowing God. We discussed the glory of God. The glory of God is not some kind of emotion you feel that makes you feeling spiritual. The glory of God means you see the characters of God in display. That's how God is glorified. And that means when you look at creation, its function is to reveal the glory of God, the various characters of God. And you are left in awe at those characters. And certainly, if you believe that nature is the work and design of God, you cannot miss His glory. Take, for example, Psalm 104. It is a celebration of God's work in creation. The psalmist reflects on the earth, on the seas, the animals, and finally on mankind itself. And then he exclaims in adoration, Psalm 104:24, "O Lord, how manifold are your works! In wisdom you made them all. The earth is full of your creatures." So here is an ancient mind looking at the heavenly bodies and the earth and the processes of nature, then mankind itself. And perhaps we may think in our arrogance in science, he's a simple mind. He only sees the wisdom of God. We know better with our microscopes and telescopes and laboratories. Well, no, for the Christian, for the creationist, we must never miss, we must never lose the awe when we reflect on the beauty of creation. If you believe in creation, you see the sheer beauty and genius of design in nature. And it is meant to draw a response of how glorious, how majestic my God is. If you look and reflect merely on what your naked eye can see, the trees, the plants, the mountains, the bodies of water, there is beauty and wise design. If you have the means to see or study the vast bodies that astronomy yields, there too is beauty and design. And if you could study the tiniest world of subatomic dimension that quantum physics yields, the quarks and the neutrinos and the particles, there too is beauty, order, design. And there is wonder in the simplicity of believing in the design of infinite wisdom behind creation. It does not demand the sheer complication of billions of years proposed to come up with this design. I prefer the simple way to see the wisdom of God without denying the place of scientific study and exploration. Yet look at creation and it is telling you, my maker is great and glorious. It is usually the case that products are named to honor someone or something. You know, Levi Strauss named it after himself. He wants to honor himself. Nothing wrong with that. Mercedes-Benz was named after a favorite granddaughter of a rabbi, Mercedes. Peculiar is the case of George Eastman. When he invented the camera, he wanted to honor his favorite letter K. So he came up with Kodak. And it stuck. In the Visayas, when they say, magpa-photo ka naman, they say, magpa-Kodak. But you see, they made their products to honor something. What do you think is this product we call nature meant to honor? If we miss that, brethren, we are missing a great deal of the ground of worship. We need to see the glory of God reflect on creation in a way that terminates on God and His glory. Magmuni ka sa nilikha na tutungo sa kadakilaan at kalawalatian ng ating Diyos. There are moments that some reflect on creation in a purely scientific way, and there is a place for that. Early scientific exploration, in fact, you have heard it from me, I'm sure, many times, was motivated by faith, as Johann Kepler, the formulator of the laws of planetary motion, said, I am thinking God's thoughts after Him. Others may reflect on creation with a purely artistic interest. And again, there is a place for that because you see beauty in creation. And it is no coincidence that the Renaissance, which is a knowledge movement that began in Italy, coincided with a time of landmark progress in art, spearheaded by the first famous medieval painter, Giotto di Bondone. He introduced the three-dimensional painting known as mannerism, and it was a progress from the Byzantine style of flat and linear painting. In other words, there's no conflict. Science and art, there is both. There are both in nature. But may I suggest that as Christians, let us not just look on nature, on creation with a scientific interest, not just with an artistic appreciation, and others do no more than a practical concern of what they could get from nature, such as their woods and water. The Christian, as creationist, has ground to do more, and that is to see God in creation, enjoy His glory. Creation is a ground of worship. I remember long ago when some of you would remember Manny Reyes doing his masteral thesis on the effect of raindrop on the soil. And he's so excitedly telling me how the shape and spherical whatever of raindrop has this effect on the soil, and he sees the hand of God in it. And tried as I might to appreciate what was there in the small raindrop, it took a struggle. But my point is, that was his area. God has assigned to him an area of nature where he should see God. And you have yours, I have mine. And we must not fail. We sang, "Oh, worship the King." This was written by Robert Grant. Robert Grant was once a member of Parliament of Scotland and at one point governor of Bombay, India, when it was still British colony. So he was a man of prominence. And yet there you see him saying in his song, "Frail children of dust and feeble as frail." In the sight of such glory, this is his reaction. And should we not say with him, "The earth with its store of wonders untold." Do you still see the wonder? Nakikita mo pa ba yung kagandahan ng paligid mo, ng nilikha? This is one thing that invites worship, God of glory. Then secondly, consider man as image. The psalmist reflects with wonder on the vastness of the heavens, the earth, the moon. But then the greater cause of wonder for him is on a much smaller scale than the heavenly bodies. Man. God's treatment of man. For all the vastness of the space with those heavenly bodies, God turns his attention on that puny creature which is but a speck of the universe. And he pays attention to man. He visits man, small and frail, but God chose man to personally care for him and invest him with his glory. This is the biblical vocabulary of image. Man is God's image, not said of any other creatures, only man. Man is the creature God designed to be essentially face to face with him in relationship. Now, the concept of man as God's image is rich in meaning. And I have volumes upon volumes of scholarly treatises discussing the image of God in man. But one central feature, I'm sure, of man as image is that of reflection. You know, when you look at your image on the mirror, and if you are facing the mirror, you expect your image to face you. If it turns its back on you, run away. It's not supposed to do so. It's your image. And that is what man is. He is meant to be face to face with God. He is not to turn his back to God, but that, you see, precisely is what sinners have done. They have insisted to live their lives with their back turned on God. And in doing so, they dehumanize themselves. We are meant to be face to face. My friend, if you are one of those sinners who live their lives apart from the face to face status before God, you must realize that you are outside His will. You are lost. And the only way to be back on track is through the Lord Jesus Christ. Because man was created lower than the angels, that is his essential nature. The Son of God was higher than the angels, but voluntarily, Hebrews chapter 2 says, to become lower than the angels, to bring man back on track. And to be back on track means face to face with God. As one theologian puts it, man is in an I-thou relationship with God. Meaning, harapan, ikaw at ako. It's not I, he, ako at siya. Much less I, it, ako at iyon. It is I, thou. You are talking to God. You may have heard of the mythological story of Narcissus. Narcissus, when he was born, there was a prophetic warning. Of course, this is just myth, but there was a prophetic warning that he will survive as long as he does not know himself. Well, one day, he saw his reflection on the pool for the first time. And he wasn't aware that it was himself, but he fell in love with the image. And he could not turn his face away from his own image. until he just perished for lack of other important necessities. And from Narcissus, we have the psychological state known as narcissism, a man so obsessed with self. And that is not how life is to be lived. And am I speaking to anyone? Obsessed with self. The world turns around yourself. And anything that happens in the world that is not to your liking, you get angry. You think things are wrong as long as they are not for myself. That's not how man was created. He was created to answer to the image, as God's image to God. And the challenge for us is seek the approving countenance of God, especially in the posture of worship. It is not surprising that one Old Testament benediction for Israel was for Yahweh to make his face to shine upon you. This pertains to God's approval of our ways. And the way to fundamentally seek that approval is through to be accepted through the beloved, the Lord Jesus Christ. If you are not accepted in God through Christ, there is no acceptance for you, period. Not in religion, not in your good works, not in your tradition, only in Christ. But as believers, we continue to seek his face shining upon us day by day. And I ask you, do you still do? Are you still seeking that today may the Lord's face shine upon me, whether it is in the field under the scorching sun or in an aircon office? Am I seeking the face of my God? Nowhere is this more important than in the posture of worship. And many have turned their back to God as far as worship is concerned. And worship is one key area of reformation that churches need to be face to face through his word. And creation is an incitement to that. We sang our second hymn, For the Beauty of the Earth, by Folio Pierpoint. The only thing we know about this hymn is that Pierpoint wrote it while he was reflecting on the Avon River in the county of England known as Bath. It got its name because during the Roman Empire, they built baths, public baths, in that place. And they're still there. I visited them, and the Avon River is a sight of beauty. And from there, Pierpoint wrote, For the Beauty of the Earth. And the conclusion is, O Father, we raise our vows unto thee. And that should be our status. We are image of God. We answer to him face to face. And finally, church in worship. In Iglesia sa Panambahan, in Revelation, John saw the vision of the four living creatures worshiping, and then the 24 elders worshiping. Now, without going through the mechanics of interpretation, I can only summarize what they represent. How we got to that, you can ask Ben later. We studied this in last semester. But the four living creatures represent creation, while the 24 elders represent the church. Because in the book of Revelation, you have the 12 tribes of Israel, the 12 apostles in the New Jerusalem. They're put together. The church now are Jews and Gentiles. So both creation and church. What is this teaching us? The church is the unique assembly on earth defined by the worship of the triune God. Now, as creature, we are called to worship God. It reminds us that man, as creature, is invited to worship God. And we represent that in our congregation. We have never said during congregational singing, only genuine Christians should sing this. There should be no such discrimination because we are called to worship God as creatures. And I want to emphasize also that it is not any God that religions may define as the object of worship. The Spirit brought John to the throne room. And on the throne room, he saw God and the Lamb, triune God. Not any God that religions define. The God to whom we owe worship is the triune God, and here the church is worshiping the triune God on the ground of his having created, and that all exists by his will. And if this is the case, tell me, would it be too much to infer that to give up creation as belief compromises worship? I believe it in my heart. That's why it's not a doctrine to compromise. Today, you have official photographers for heads of state. There was a time when there was no photography yet. What heads of state did, or especially royalty, was to hire painters. They painted the portrait of these royalties. And the reason why we have them today are those paintings left behind. Creation is that painting. And the church is the painter to represent God, to see in creation the glory of God. The church is to be a worshiping church. And the challenge is here, combine creation and redemption in our worship as a church. Pagsamahin natin ang paglilikha at ang katubusan sa ating pagsamba bilang iglesia. Creation gives us the inspiration to see the glory of God. Redemption gives us eyes to see Jesus Christ in creation. Many are occupied today with finding the surefire method to make worship lively, and they find it in loud music. Make it loud, and people will be carried by the sheer flippancy of the music. What we need, I say, is a deep and animated conviction that we are creatures of God in His creation. And yet we rebelled in sin against our own Creator, but in His grace, He completed redemption through the Lord Jesus Christ. Let these two truths combine whenever we come and join together for worship. I come to God as creature. I see His glory in creation. But I also come to God as redeemed. I am the recipient. I am the beneficiary of the bounty of His grace. How can I not worship this God? And we are a 32-year-old worshiping church. We need to grow more. But let us not displace worship from its primacy, from its defining feature of our church. One of the masterpieces of painting in the 19th century was done by Thomas Cole. It's titled The Oxbow. It is a majestic painting of a landscape in Connecticut. And because of that painting, Thomas Cole was welcomed to the Royal Society. Thomas Cole also was a Christian and a firm believer in creation. And on that majestic landscape of his painting, he put a code on one of the hills. He put the word in Hebrew, Noah. But he wrote it in such a way that when read upside down, it reads Shaddai. Shaddai is Almighty. And many have tried to interpret whatever Thomas Cole wanted to convey. Well, I think this, or probably this. When the Almighty God is put in reverse, inverted, displaced from His glory, what is left for creation is what happened in Noah's day. It's destruction. And therefore, we need to maintain our belief in creation and let creation stimulate us to worship and to honor our God. It is our duty because He is our God. It should be our delight because He is our Creator and Redeemer. And when faced with calamities, with super typhoons, what then? God is our refuge and our strength, our ever-present aid. And therefore, though the earth remove, we will not be afraid. Though hills amidst the sea be cast, though foaming waters roar, yes, though the mighty billows shake the mountains on the shore, we continue to believe in the God of creation. Let's close in prayer. O dakila naming Diyos at mabuting Ama, nakikita namin ang iyong kadakilaan, ang iyong kabutihan sa nakapaligid sa amin. At bagamat malimit na napupuno ng pag-angal sa bibig ng iyong mga nilikha, ang hindi nila natatalo sa kung paano mo silang pinapaligiran ng napakaraming kabutihan na sana'y maging udyok upang humanga sila sa iyong karunungan, sa iyong kagandahang loob. Ngunit malimit ito ay lumalampas sa amin at naway maging paalala ito na ang nilikha ay ginawang batayan para sambahin namin ang aming Diyos. Help us, Lord, to see the God of glory in creation. For creation reveals the glory of God that should invite worship. And we own the words of the psalmist, how majestic is our Lord in all the earth. And may it be indeed our disposition every time we reflect on that part of creation you have given to us to reflect upon, be it a plant, a field, the heavenly bodies, or a small ground, that we may see, we may learn to terminate on God and His glory and see this product as intended to glorify you and to draw us to worship you. Help us also, Lord, to be reminded of our status as created in your image, and therefore we are to reflect you. We are to answer face to face before our God. And it is the sinfulness of man that he has insisted to turn his back on you. We pray for those who here are still in that condition, a back turned on God, living his life the way he pleases rather than under your rule and under the rule of the Lord Jesus. May he come to the Lord Jesus Christ and put his life back on track. For the Lord Jesus was the one who was above the angels, yet volunteered to come lower than the angels, and in his humanity redeem us from our sins and help us to see the church to be a church in worship, that it is worship that defines our being as a church. And the way to truly stimulate worship that is godly is not by carnal means of loud and flippant music, but by deepening our conviction that we are your creatures, that we are redeemed in the Lord Jesus Christ, that we give you, that we say with the 24 elders, worthy are you, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor, because you created all things. May we not lose the sense of wonder on creation, and whatever the calamities that we encounter, as we have sung, may we truly still believe in the God of Jacob, the God of grace for sinners like us. And we glorify you. Accept our worship. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen.